it going?
Good. How are you?
Okay, you're back in the front room there.
Yes, I didn't make it in time to set up the suite, so here I am.
All right, cool. Well, excitingly enough, we have Susie Fox joining us. She runs a company called Rainbow Stores.
Yeah.
With a lot of really cool rainbow merch.
I saw, and they have home goods too. They have mugs and notebooks and yeah.
All right, let's let Susie in and get to a chat.
All right, let's do it.
Tomorrow I'm going to listen to us on Gay SA Radio in South Africa. I've set an alarm on my phone.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
I should do that too.
I'm trying to think of what time it would be. It's going to be 11 a.m. here for me. Oh, there.
Hello. Hey.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay. You good? You can hear us?
I can hear you, yeah.
Wonderful. Look how pretty
awesome.
You are. Wow.
It's end of day here, yeah. 11 o'clock here. No, 10 o'clock here, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the UK too. Where are you?
I'm in London. I'm in South London.
Oh, how nice.
I am too. I'm in the Carshalton area.
Oh, right. Okay, you're not far away from me. Yeah, I'm in Battersea.
Oh, not far at all. Yeah, yeah. In fact, my wife goes there all the time. She's got a friend that lives like Battersea near the power station.
Oh, yeah. It's just down the road from me.
Yeah. Cool, trendy area.
Absolutely. I think, I've been here a long time. I've been here since 1989.
Oh, so you've seen the change.
It's really different. Yeah. I think it was, I came here because a lot of my school friends were here. And it was a very different place back then. But it's been gentrified so much.
Yeah.
I think, and with people kind of coming over from Chelsea when they realized that.
Yes. Yes, indeed. It's very trendy.
I'm South Florida, but I wish I was there with you guys.
Where I used to live. So she's in Florida where I used to live. We do this all the time. And I was on Threads, which was where I found you. This is where I'm finding everybody. I feel like everyone's there now.
An amazing community on Threads, isn't there? I've been really, it's wonderful.
Yeah. And so I found you, then I stalked your Instagram.
It sounds a little creepy. I did a deep dive, right? It's a little creepy.
I immediately sent JD the link and I said, I think we can get these people on a show. And so of course then she did a deep dive. Now we're obsessed with all your products. So let's just start at the beginning. It's called Rainbow Stores.
Yeah.
And rainbowstores.com. Is that where people can go?
Rainbowstores.com. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's got the coolest merchandise. It's so inclusive and broad, you know, like it's not just your dangly bracelets or your cool, you know, caps or whatever. It's really broad. So how did you do this? How did you put this together and find the merch and know that there was still a market for it, I should say, because there's so much.
Well, it goes back quite a way. So it goes back 2 or 3 years. So I lost my job just around COVID time. I was a user experience designer and user experience researcher. So I'd spent like 23, 24 years with the same company.
Oh.
And I'd been a journalist before that. So I think it kind of got to the end of my time there. And they made me redundant. They made the whole team redundant. And
I thought,
it's one of those things which is actually a good thing because I can do something for me and for my community. With a friend, I sat down and we tried to work out how we were going to do it. And we actually launched something else on a different platform first, just to see how it worked and realize that wasn't the way forward. So it took us a year. We kind of had a couple of false starts for a year.
Yeah.
And then Christmas 2020, kind of going into 2021, we thought, you know what, we need to be a bit more focused. We need to work out a better name for ourselves, because I think we hadn't really done a good enough job at that point. And we went, right, what are all the different things we could call ourselves? And we wanted to find something that was obvious, immediately obvious, as to what we were selling and what our community was. And the Rainbow Stores just kind of popped out at us.
So perfect.
And it was just one of those names. And I think there was a couple of, originally we were looking at Rainbow Shops, and someone already had that. It was bizarrely doing something completely not queer based. But
that's interesting.
So anyway, we thought Rainbow Stores is great. And then I designed a logo. And then we thought, okay, well, that's it. Now we've found our identity. We need to start motoring forward. So it was a case of then just trying to find where we could get all our stuff done. And we were thinking of kind of, are we going to buy everything in and warehouse it and kind of buy from different locations? And I think because of all the things that were happening at the beginning of 2020 with all the COVID stuff, we thought it's probably better if we just take a cautious approach to this. So we started to research print-on-demand companies. And we went through quite a few. We tested products from about five or six different companies, and there were quite a few of them. We just weren't really happy with the quality. And then we found one company that was just, they own all of their own print stuff, and they print all over the world. So they're in the UK, they've got two factories in America, they're in Australia and Japan, in the EU, Brazil, all over the world. And because they own all their own stuff, they have got really high quality. Their stuff's really good. So we thought, okay, well, we can go with them as a starting place. And then it was really just about one of us starting to build the website, which was me.
With the background.
Exactly. And my partner starting to try and get as much of the designs of the kind of clothes as possible. And we kind of decided together what we were going to do for a launch kind of range, that we weren't going to try and be too optimistic. We were just going to try and do maybe t-shirts and hoodies and maybe some vests and some kind of easy things like that. And because it was coming into summer, we decided flip-flops for some reason.
That's okay. Yeah. It worked.
I mean, it stands to reason, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And just some other little bits and pieces. So I think we had about the kind of six or seven ranges for when we started. Mm-hmm. And then we just motored on.
It's incredible, because so many people kind of went into their shell during COVID, you know, and everything. It was kind of, in the same respect, it was a great time to start a business online. Because everybody was home and we didn't know, you know,
right,
what we were going to be doing. But, you know, the great thing is that it seems like now, because festivals are back and, you know, concerts are happening and events are kicking back up, now's the time, you know, like, so people got to experience you a little bit, you know, when they were all isolated. But now, like, now you need a range of things to wear out to events and all that. So, you know, fantastic news.
I love the way it's separated from the different like non-binary, lesbian, gay man, like the different genders, and specifically to each group, including the flags, which are great. I just love how specific you get with the site and your products.
I think
much to keep track of. I don't know how you do it.
Well, we certainly, when we started, we wanted, there were two things that we really wanted to do. The first one was, and it was largely, the whole thing was born largely out of us wanting to go out one night, and we were going to a restaurant, and we thought, well, we were going with a few friends. We thought, well, we want to be authentic. We want to be able to say, this is who I am and this is me. But we didn't really want to be wearing a big flag.
Yeah.
And so we went online to try and find some. She's gone, is there something that we can, somewhere we can buy something that's a lot more subtle, that maybe has a little flag on or a little heart on it or something. There was nothing. And we thought, well, there's got to be a market, surely, for this, because we can't be the only people who want to be able to say, well, this is who I am. We'll be able to express our identity,
right,
but not do it by waving a big flag. So that was really the kind of the birth of the Rainbow Stores. That's what gave us the first idea. And then as we went on, we thought, well, we've got to be as inclusive as we can. So we sat down and we decided what identities we were going to include. And I think that's one of the reasons why it took us so long to get things going, because effectively we are 14 different shops in one, because people go, you've got so much stuff. And we have, but we haven't got that much stuff for aromantics, and we haven't got that much stuff for asexual people. So, and they might not want to buy anything else. So you've got to be, okay, we've got a shop for aromantic people, we've got a shop for asexual people, we've got a shop for lesbians, we've got a shop for trans people. So we have to have enough things in each of those different, for each of the different identities, for it to be worthwhile.
Exactly.
And that was the challenge, I think. But and the other challenge is that a couple of the flags have changed since we started.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's what sets you apart from anyone else doing this type of a shop for the community, is the fact that you are so specific with the identities and you have something for so many different people.
Yeah.
And you're that's so hard current. To find, right?
You're so current. Like, I'm out of it. I'm you know, like a haggard old lesbian that barely keeps up with what's going on.
I don't believe you.
All of a sudden, I'm seeing all this stuff, like you just mentioned, the aromantic thing. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm looking to this. Like, this is new to me.
Yeah, that's
new. I really do. You know, that's one of the things I miss about being in South Florida is my bestie there works for Centerlink, which links all LGBTQIA community centers together. There's like 250 of them, you know, and they just kind of, they're all linked together, and they're always so on the money with what's happening. So, you know, we would go out to dinner and catch up, and she would be using all these terms, and I'd be like, whoa, you know, back it up. I'm going to need an explanation on those last three things you said. And, you know, I could stay current. And now, like, I got to do the work myself, you know? Yeah. So I see it and I'm like, okay, I got to open up a new browser and put this in. Like, keeping up with terminology, because you always want to be respectful of people's pronouns and their identities. And, you know, it's so great that you guys are like right on the cutting edge of everything.
Yeah. Because
like you said, they're, you know, I think, you know, as people come into their own and they figure things out, the first thing you want to do is find something with an emblem, like something that makes you feel a part of that specific part of the community, you know?
Yep.
And I think that was what drew me, you know, to your store, because it is that simple, you know? And again, that current, like if you've just discovered this about yourself, and you're like, oh, I'm going to get a shirt that's got a little something, or I'm going to get a flag for the next, you know, I want to be ready for the Pride Fest. I want to be ready for, you know, it's right there. It's just amazing to me. And everything is so reasonable. You know, it's not some, you know, you're not like spending a fortune just because you want to be you. Like everything is reasonable. And I love that about it. I really do.
That was a really, really important thing for us, I think, because we're aware that a lot of people in our community haven't got a lot of money. I think this whole kind of gay pound, this kind of pink pound thing, it's a little bit of a fallacy, because it came about because of gay men. Because gay men not having families, not having kids, and being kind of money earners, largely, in the patriarchy, getting much more money than women,
right,
having a lot of spare income, but obviously kind of women are paid less than men in many instances. Mm-hmm. And if you look kind of into the deeper parts of the community, kind of trans people still not being able to find those more higher paid jobs. Mm-hmm. So people that are in our community in those other groupings are struggling. So while other people are putting their prices up, we just put our prices down. We've taken 8% off our t-shirts last week because we felt as though the cost of living crisis is starting to cut. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are starting to feel it a lot more. Yeah. We've seen so many shops going out of business. We think don't want people to be feeling as though we're benefiting from their struggles. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear about the British Gas making these enormous profits. Whoa. An enormous profit was never what we were about. What we're about is making something for our community that our community can afford and can feel good in. It's about doing things for the people that we care about, the people that we love. And when we start to make money, we are going to start employing people from the community so that they haven't got to worry about going in and saying, I saw my girlfriend yesterday or I saw my boyfriend yesterday. And feeling out of place because everybody else is talking about heterosexual relationships or whatever. They can feel free to be themselves. So we're very much a community-based company. Everybody that works for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So my partner is the photographer who is a kind of gender fluid. Our models, two of our models are lesbians. Another one is a two-spirit. Another person is a drag queen. So we've got everybody that we work with. We had an agency for a while, a marketing agency, and that was an agency that was run by a gay man. So everybody that we have kind of connections with are people from the community, because that's really, really important.
Yeah, that runs deep, I think, with people. You know, like I know, you know, and my wife's a little bit younger, you know, and that's her primary focus, you know, like is to buy from your own, like buy from an LGBTQ run place, owned and operated, you know, that kind of thing, or you know, women run company, and you know, these small little startup places, you know. In fact, like for Christmas, a lot of the things that I got her, I was making such a conscious effort to get her things from those kinds of places, you know. And but it made me feel good for a change, you know, like I was putting the work in and I was finding all
and
these
you found things. Them.
Yeah, I found them.
They were, find? Yeah.
You know, here's the thing with today. The minute you look up one kind of thing like that, boom, you get like 50,000 ads for different companies. Like, so it started off a little bit of a like, what should I be looking at and for and that kind of thing. And then once I found that specific niche, like all these, you know, I started finding all kinds of ads and was able to browse a lot of different places. And that was fun. Like it was so fun. And that's what I love doing. Like I loved the first time I went on your site and I was just, you know, like I spent some serious time, you know, like I was going through every little thing. I was so impressed with every little thing. So I think that, you know, maybe like Jay, we always like, we're older lesbians. We don't really know what's going on and everything. Like I'm telling you, man, my wife keeps me young. Like she is like all up on that kind of stuff, you know, whether from the corporate level to the, you know, seed and spark level, so to speak, you know? And I appreciate that because I don't know that I would do that if I was on my own, you know? So
just wearing your sports stuff, the latest, the sports teams. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I'm on NFL.com looking up like, you know, my football teams from the States. I'm like, oh my God, shipping. Oh, but
I know. And I think that's because I bought something from Australia recently. There was a couple of little button badges that I found online because my flatmate was going through some troubles at the time. And one of them was just perfect for her, and so I bought it and I thought, well, this is going to cost me an arm and leg, and actually it didn't. It was, I think the button badges were about £10 and the postage was about £5, which wasn't too bad.
That's not bad,
but I mean, certainly when you're as a UK company, people think it's going to be super expensive, but thankfully my stuff is, because it's produced all over the world.
Yeah.
Oh, so the stuff that goes to the States is actually made in the States. So it's shipped locally.
Right. Yeah. That's
so
great.
That I think is been a quite important, which is, so we're now looking at maybe not some things that we're going to do. We're not going to be print on demand. We're looking at some jewelry to do. We've got a guy that we're working with who does 3D printed jewelry.
Ooh,
which is quite cool.
Up with the designs, or are you the creator of the designs of the merchandise?
Most of them, yeah. Now, yeah, because really cool stuff. Sorry,
you have some really cool stuff. The mug with the non-binary ring, that was interesting.
We've got lots of things in the store. I think one of my favorite things in the store for non-binary is the non-binary camouflage we got.
Oh yes,
which was actually because we did there were two we did a lesbian camouflage and we did a non-binary camouflage.
I'm a camouflage person.
I've got the lesbian camo here actually. Mm-hmm. So this was one of those things we were just trying to think, kind of, how can we do something that's really subtle. So we ended up completely deconstructing the flag colors and just making them into something else. So it's really kind of, if you know, you know. If you don't, then it's
right. It almost feels like a code.
Right. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like you see someone in them colors and you're like,
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's, so something like, if you're going to be on the beach, you don't necessarily want to announce to everybody else what your sexuality is. So you want something that's going to be reasonably subtle, very subtle.
Yeah.
So
you're in Brighton.
Yeah. Well, unless you're in Brighton. So, I mean, some of our men's trunks have got the flag on the inside.
Oh.
That's cool. Yeah.
Which was quite interesting. We thought we'd see how well those went. But it was just, I think it's, a lot of it is just to try it and see what works.
Hit or miss, yeah. Do you get a lot of feedback then? Do people give you feedback like once they?
Yeah, they do. It's positive, it's good. I mean, I think, so we did Pride a couple of years ago in London. And it was interesting because it was the first time we'd seen our customers face-to-face until that point. We're sending out all the stuff, but we have no idea. And then suddenly we were confronted by the people that we were looking at our stuff. And it was lovely because we got so much positive feedback.
And London Pride is huge.
It's huge, yeah.
It is. It's alarmingly huge. Like I was overwhelmed to the point where once was good. I don't know that we need to, you know.
A million people. In 2020.
Wow.
22, yeah, I think there was like 750,000 last year, but doing a Pride stall is expensive.
Yeah.
It cost us nearly £1,000 to do a stall.
Right? Yeah.
And
you mean like a booth at the festival?
Yeah, to do a pop-up, yeah.
It's crazy. It's so crazy, especially there because it's a little bit chaotic. You know, like there's no mapped route or, you know, a plan of where things.
It's in lots of different places, isn't it? Yeah. So you've got one bit up here, another one there. We were in Leicester Square.
Right.
So we were quite lucky because we got lots of kind of people just wandering past and coming in and going, oh yeah, I've got a gay friend who I might like that for.
That's a great location though, Leicester Square.
They changed all the Leicester Square locations for this year. So I thought, because it was inside the park rather than being on the road outside, so I just spent 4 hours flyering everybody I could see. And I'm normally a very shy person, and apparently in this instance I was quite happy to just go up to perfect strangers and go, hey, there you are, have that, and then we go. Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of like being in the West End and people hitting you with the theater things, right? It's
very much like that. And they're normally so irritating, but I became one of those irritating people.
The spray people with the colognes when you're walking through the store, department stores.
Perfect. perfect. Like no, Joey from Friends. Yeah.
It was very cool because I was by the time I'd done all this, I was quite tired. And I went into the main part of Soho, kind of up towards Brewer Street and not Compton Street. And it was so busy, and it took me like half an hour to push my way through about 30 meters. And this one girl came up to me and she just said, "You look really tired. You need to come over here." And she just literally kind of dragged me over to where her friends were, poured me a drink. And they were all these, her friends, like five or six of these lesbian, and they just took me in and looked after me for half an hour and gave me a couple of drinks and chatted to me and then let me on my way. They were fabulous.
That is nice. Nice to see people like that are still out there.
Yeah, it's a good community. I think I mean, Pride is a good chance for people to go and recharge their batteries, I think, recharge their queer batteries. But it's very different. And Pride is very much a celebration still, I think. But something like Trans Pride in London, which is now every year, is much more of a protest. So I've done both for the last two. I did Trans Pride 3 years. I've done Pride for the last 2 years. And it's very interesting the difference between the two, whereas Trans Pride is very much people want to make their voices heard, whereas Pride is really just let's celebrate ourselves.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. My favorite one, I think, is Brighton Pride, because it feels, you know, contained and, you know, easy to get around, easy to, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I feel like you get to kind of really go to each stall, you know, make your, it's like being in a mall. So I like that. I do like that a little bit. And I did say, I think I said, Jay, I can't remember who we had on, is it, maybe it was Nick, that we were talking about trying to go to more smaller local prides. And, you know, all these little pockets that Surrey Pride, and, you know, these ones that are close. And I think at the time, one of my friends had just come out to me as being bi, and then Carrie, and she was looking for like a local one and asking me like, is there one, because she's got like a 2-year-old, and she's like, dude, you know, is it weird that I want to bring my kid? I'm like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I actually ended up convincing her to go to one of the local ones, and
when you do the festivals, you have to bring like a certain number of actual products, right? So when you, how did you order like things that you think are going to be the most popular? I found t-shirts were really hard. I tried my hand at a t-shirt company about 10 years ago, and you never know. Or when I toured, the military bases, I had t-shirts. You don't know what sizes to have on hand, because you might have a bunch of larges and then everybody wants small, and you don't expect that, you know? So how do you find like getting the merchandise for shows that you're going to be in person? Like, how do you decide what to have with you?
I think that's a great question. At the moment, we've only done that one Pride. And I think because it cost us so much to do it and we broke even, I had intended to do Pride again in London this year, but the prices were so high. I think it would have been like £1,300 or £1,400 this year just gone. So I decided I was going to regroup and do the smaller Prides, actually, although I might be at Brighton next year. So we're probably going to be doing things like Milton Keynes and kind of Chelmsford and Birmingham, maybe something smaller.
Oh, Birmingham was fun. Yeah, I did that too.
So I think what we'll probably do, we did have a problem with sizing because I tried to take one of almost every single t-shirt that we'd got, because it was almost like, I don't want people to miss out. You kind of buy, you get one XL, two X's, two mediums, two smalls, and an extra small, and you hope that's enough. And you know very well that, or now I realize that people are going to buy all of the mediums, and that's all people will want during the day.
Yeah.
You've got none left, and people are constantly going, well, can I want a medium? And if you don't get them, what I discovered is if you don't sell to them while they're at the actual event, that's it, you're gone. You can give them a flyer with 10% off, and that's it. Once they've left that event,
Exactly, so true.
Especially
you've got to sell to them there. So I think what I'll probably do going forward is I will pick, instead of trying to take 20 or 30 different designs, I'll take 10 designs, one of which will be done specifically for that pride. So if I'm going to Milton Keynes, I will have one with Milton Keynes Pride on it with a unique design for it. And we'll do maybe 5 or 6 of each sizing.
That's a great idea. It's almost personalized.
That's the hardest. Yeah, that's the hardest thing.
Like to your location, like personalized to your location.
That's great. That's a great idea. I like people want that anyway to remember the day, like to remember that experience. They want the date. So that's cool.
Exactly. So I think that's what we'll do. And also, I think what we didn't do last year, what we sold most of actually when we were at London, was bags. Because people have got so much stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Bags and flip-flops. So we sold lots of bags for people who wanted to put their other stuff in. Right. And after about 5 o'clock, we sold out of flip-flops because their feet were hurting so much. They wanted
That's great.
Yes.
So that was interesting. So we'll make sure we have plenty of bags and flip-flops.
Oh man, I'll tell you, I still want, I always say this, I still want a really good pair of like pride related slippers. You know what I
mean? Interesting, actually.
I'm gonna answer the door for my Uber Eats and my pride slippers. You know? I want to accept my groceries when they get delivered in my pride slippers.
All the people that come to the door.
Yeah, kind of brought that much, you know.
We are going to talk about what we can do for you with pride slippers.
See? That would be fantastic. That would be great.
Inspired a new product.
That is exactly. And do you know what? I think, because I've been thinking about this a lot recently, and with all of the stuff that's going on, especially in the US with the attacks and with all the political attacks on the community, and certainly kind of in the UK with trans people, and trans people are our biggest market, I think, because the audience has been the trans people largely have been politicized, and they want to talk about it, they want to show something that represents who they are, they want to be much more in contact with their community, but some people are now scared to wear their colours when they go out. So we're going to be trying to do a lot more things where the emblem or the colours or the flag is just for you. So there are either things where it'll be on the inside, or there are things that you would only have at home. So slippers would be one.
Right.
Or fridge magnets or pyjamas. Or things that you can wear and feel in touch with your authentic self, but you're not necessarily going out and wearing them.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of people I know feel like you're putting it in their face. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, that's something that we're going to be exploring in the next 2 or 3 months, is to try and get more things that are just personal for you.
It is. Yeah, it is. It's very personal. And the thing is that everybody's own experience is so unique with it, you know, and that's, you know, and it's so funny. We were talking about, I don't know if you saw this, Susie, but there was, I think it was on Pink News, I read that there was going to be a lesbian members only club, right? That were excluding trans women. And I'm like, oh my God, like who's putting up the money for that? J.K. Rowling? Like that's terrible.
I
couldn't believe it. And it's one of those things that it's like, here we are, you know, we're already such a divided country, whether it's the US or over here with their politics and everything, you know, and it just seems like it's the last thing that's needed, really. So I hope it falls flat.
I think it was interesting because I saw that today as well, and I thought, because the person who's doing that has tried quite often over the last 6 months to create some fuss. So she's been a proper thorn in the trans community's side for quite some time.
Oh, wow.
And I'm guessing this is just another one of her grifts to try and attract attention. She's a nasty attention seeker.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The thing is that you know that there will be that section of the gender critical community that will sign up to become members, which will probably prop them up for a year.
Yeah.
And then they will, and then everyone will get bored. And
there's no way they can keep up. Yeah. It's,
no, there'll be nobody there, but they'll probably have quite a lot of members who sign up.
It's like a hate coming from within the house. Coming from inside the house.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. And these are the things, because certainly as a trans woman, I've found that there has been, and it's interesting because I think within the community, we know that there are elements within the community where there's some conflict.
Right.
Because although many of us are trying to hang it all together, there are those, I mean, in any community, there mm-hmm. are those who are trying to tear it apart.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And the hate that comes internally is the one that hurts the most.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
You know, and there's so many levels to it, you know, like there's that element. And then there's like that ageist kind of thing that goes on. It starts with gay men, you know, like once they hit a certain age, it's like they just, you know,
they disappear.
Yeah, they don't pay attention to them anymore. And then like the same thing, older lesbians are our own group. You know, we are definitely our own group. you know, like the younger ones that are more in touch and in tune with everything, you know, make us feel outdated, you know, and it's like, where's the unity in the community that we were so proud of?
I like that, unity in the community.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I felt like that was such a thing, like 10 or 15 years ago, it was all about the unity, you know, now it's like, everything's divided and...
It is, yeah, but you know what, I mean, I was, so about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I was doing some advertising on Facebook. And I got a load of abuse come in from different people. It was largely because the stuff that was going out to a kind of a mixed audience. So it was going to some cishet people.
Right.
And a friend of mine took me along to the Vauxhall Tavern.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she told the head drag queen. Now, the head drag queen, that drag king there, sorry, was somebody called Frankie Sinatra. I don't know whether you've come across them.
I've heard, yep.
Yeah. And Frankie, I mean, absolutely, bless her, she stopped the show and said to everybody, right, this has happened to this person, Susie over there, come and step forward and tell everyone what's happened. And she brought me to the front and she made me tell everyone. And the love that I got back on that night, and there was about a couple of hundred people in there, it might well have saved the Rainbow Stores, because there was a time when I was just, I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to be subjected to this kind of hate.
Hey,
but
really,
the community on that night was just so beautiful and so together. And I felt so much love and support. And I thought, this is where it's at. This is what it's about.
Yeah.
And it was just, this is the best of us. And it made me feel... It kind of reignited my absolute determination that these are the people. These are the people that I'm doing this for. These are the people that we all fight for.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I think the other thing that's important is that trans people are taking a lot of that love at the moment, because we're asking a lot of the rest of the community to come out for us. And it's really important that we don't forget that we are part of that community too.
Exactly.
And so we need to be there for the other people. We mustn't forget that lesbian exclusion is really important, and non-binary and bisexual erasure, and we must be fighting for all of these things and all of these other parts of the community. It's not just about us. We're having a tough time, but everybody is as well. So it is one community, and we must be kind of LGBT queer first, and then our own part of our own identity within that.
Yeah,
comes afterwards.
Exactly.
So,
it's like it's one big, you know, it should be like one big inclusive.
It really should.
Hug, yeah. You know, whatever, you know.
So yeah. come down to the to every two months they do the drinking night at the Royal Vauxhall Tavern. Come with me.
Still
come,
doing
come
down.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I have a friend that every once in a while will throw me a message and be like, you know, come, you know, we're having a good time, and she's fantastic. Like I used to be a MC at Elfest every year.
Okay. Yeah.
And I met her at one of these things. She's in a wheelchair, and she is the coolest chick ever, you know, and like nothing stops her from doing her thing, going out, doing her thing, you know. And yeah, every once in a while, she'll throw me a message about going to Ducky, and I always forget. So yeah, it's good to know that it's still going on. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think what's the night called? King of Clubs.
Okay. And yeah. It's at RVT? It's at Royal?
It's at RVT, yeah, every 2 months.
Oh, fantastic.
But
yeah.
But the feeling of community is just almost overwhelming. It's so amazing. Yeah.
It's
so, yeah.
Good to go submerge yourself in that, you know, every now and then. We do get...
It's a recharge. It's like going in... I mean, I've got one of my T-shirts has got... That's how I thought of it. It's got the flag as the elements of the battery.
Oh, that's great.
And that was why I did that T-shirt, because it was like going and having your batteries recharged at the RVT.
So we're losing so much of that here in the U.S. We have... Last year, I went New Year's Eve to a place called Hamburger Mary's in Orlando for a drag show for New Year's Eve, and this year they didn't do it. I was looking so forward to going back again this year, and they're only doing one pride in Palm Beach County. I mean, in South Florida, which is the one in Palm Beach County, they're not doing the one in Fort Lauderdale, which was like the big one that we did every year. So yeah, it's right. We're getting much less of that here. It's just sad that it's just going away. I mean, you can't find a bar anywhere.
Right.
It's very hard to find a lesbian bar down here. But yeah. I think I'm going to have to get on a plane and come over there. Next time that's happening.
Yeah, man, you gotta get away from it. Your governor. It's your fucking governor that is, you know, don't say gay bill, where that's a thing, and they're taking books out of schools and.
What a backwards move! I mean, go away
right.
When it was a staple. I mean, it's so sad that it's going away.
Just
I couldn't believe
it. Like just rolling forward like a giant fucking snowball in Florida.
Yeah.
It's really hard to believe what's happening now in 2024.
There's an interesting question in there, actually, because I was talking to a friend. So I used to do some work with Diva magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do their mental health check-in on a Clubhouse app on a daily basis. And I met so many amazing people from doing that. And I was talking to one of the people I met the other day and saying, kind of what happened to all the lesbian bars? Because suddenly we've got one in London now, which is in Soho, and the location for that isn't coming down in a basement,
right?
What happened? Is it because I know what happened to the gay bars? It's Grindr is what happened to the gay bars.
Because
for every man it's not a case of Mr. Right, it's Mr. Right next door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so, right. But what happened to all the lesbian bars?
It's a big question of mine for 10 years because I don't know. Do you know? I have my theory. I had my theory about that for a long time. And I always felt it was that women can really go anywhere in other regular straight bars, mainstream bars, and be accepted being together. Where men, it was much harder for, so the men supported their own bars. But I've always just felt that women could go, are free to go out in mainstream bars easier than men could do, to be together, like to be holding hands. And
yeah, nobody really knows if they're girlfriends or girls.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And you just know, thought the same expendable income, you know?
And that's the other thing, yeah, the expendable income.
Mm-hmm. To be going out and, you know, every weekend and, you know, that kind of thing. It's definitely tougher, I think. And there's a thing happening called the Lesbian Bar Project. with Leah Delaria kind of headed it up. And it's a big movement to try and answer that question. And we're actually doing a documentary on it because there's very few left in the entire United States. And it, of course it happened. Of course it was going to spill over and happen here too. And it's just, it's, you know, end up, we end up doing game nights and, you know, pizza nights and movie nights and stuff and have friends over. It just ends up being what we do now, you know. I don't know if it's an age thing.
You know what? It might be. It might be. Because, I mean, I used to go out a lot. I was a back in the late part of last century. I worked as a drag queen. So from about 95 till 2009, I worked as a drag queen. And so I was out. I was working four nights a week and had a day job, which was interesting. So I was seeing all the different clubs out and about, and it was, you could, even back then, you could see that the kind of the movement was to be less about kind of having a gay club and much more about having something that was more mixed with people that were just more open. Maybe the people that going out are going, okay, well, we don't need to go to a specific thing for gay or lesbians or whatever your sexuality is, because there are so many things that just welcome everyone, and therefore it's fine. But
yeah, and now it's like, you know, like going to a drag show is so different. Like, you know, they're huge now, you know, like,
and they're everywhere.
Yeah.
I think there was probably like maybe 20, 25 drag queens in the whole of London when I started.
Right. And now it's like, they're filling up the London Palladium. Like
I know. And now kind of, it literally there's between you and me, between here and Carl Shulton, there's probably six or seven restaurants that are doing a drag brunch on a Sunday now.
Drag bingo, drag brunches, drag story time.
Hamburger Mary's closed in Fort Lauderdale. Did you know that, Denise?
Yeah, I did. I couldn't believe it.
Susie, that was a place down here that was a restaurant with drag shows.
What confused me too about it is that it was never not busy. There was always a line of people. There was always a wait. And I do think a lot of it too, Jay, is there's so many smaller things popping up that were starting to infringe on their business. You know, they were really finishing the drag.
Like an iconic club, iconic restaurant. And for that to happen here, and it's a franchise. I don't think there's one in England, but.
No, I don't think there is, but there is definitely the one in West Hollywood still cracking on. So, that one's still there. But yeah, it is it's sad, and it feels like a big shift that everyone is feeling, you know, regardless of your age or your how you identify, or it's just a big shift within the community is happening. Yeah. Everybody's feeling it. And that's really to bring it back to the point that that's really why what you're doing is so important, because regardless if it's online, you know, or we get to actually physically go see you at a stall at a Pride Fest, it's bringing people together, and it's making them find themselves, be okay with themselves, personalize things that they want, you know, to feel close to. Being able to just open up your phone, open up your laptop, and have that right there at their fingertips is incredibly needed right now. Incredibly, incredibly needed. Like it's just, you know, really, it's important. I mean, I don't even think there's a better word. It's important.
I think it is. I mean, the one thing I've noticed certainly in the last year, maybe year and a half, because I think there's when we started, there was only maybe two other companies in the UK that were doing things, and now there's a lot more. I think it's good that there's a lot of competition, because that's not necessarily a problem. The thing that I get upset about is how many cishet companies who are obviously struggling for their own market are suddenly launching pride ranges Which is okay. So if they're then ploughing a lot of their profits back into the community, then you can kind of say, okay, well, look, at least they're giving something back. But most of them aren't. But for most of them, it's just a brand extension.
Right. They change their logo, you know, for the month of June.
Yeah.
And then they just like kind of pander to us. But I think with the amount of attention and media attention that hones right in on what you're saying, people are wising up. Like they're onto it, you know, and they're not buying into it, and they're still looking for authentically, you know, LGBTQI owned, operated businesses to give their money to, because you don't know where that end result, you don't know where that money's going. And if you're spending it, you know, with someone who's a part of the community, you can be sure that it's going back into the community or back.
Right.
So, I think it's true. I mean, I was talking to Clint at Collide Press the other day, and we were saying that there's a lot of people in our community that don't support us. There's a lot of people that pat each other on the back or pat themselves on the back and say, yes, we're doing our bit for the community. And then as soon as you say, oh, here's a new product from a queer-owned brand, they kind of look down and shuffle about a bit.
Right, right back to Amazon.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yes. The companies that are still fighting for the community on the 1st of July are the ones that are kind of sitting around and going, well, actually, it would be good if you could support us all year round rather than...
Yeah, 1 month a year, exactly. Yeah, no, I'm right there with you on that. I 100% agree with that. But that's, you know, part of it is people are so overwhelmed, I think, in their day-to-day lives and jobs that they're looking for the most convenient thing to check, be able to check something off their list. Like, I got to get a gift for my gay friend, Bob, Amazon, Prideware, you know, and that's what they're used to, you know, but they're not, you know, they don't really get it. And I do think that if people just took a minute, you know, just take a hot minute, do a little bit of research, and you know, if you're going to spend it at a place that's going to put it back into the community, their business, keep it going.
I agree. And I think so. For me, I mean, I'm happy to promote other queer brands. I'm not particularly precious about. So if on our social media, you've probably seen we promote Collide Press quite a lot because they're awesome.
Yeah.
And kind of if there's someone else, if there's an artist or something, we'll promote them. Even if somebody's in our space and they're doing t-shirts or they're doing whatever, I think it's important for people to make sure that they get something that's going to be good for them. So if they don't find that on our shop, find it somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's fine. But find it from a queer brand. Right. Don't go buy it from Nike or somebody like that.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about podcasts, you know, like when I do go on Threads or whatever and I see other queer podcasts, or, you know, like give it a repost, you know what I mean? Like give it a repost, you know, like that's the engagement that we want, like to keep everybody lifted, you know.
Support each other.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Lifted. It's
it's really important. It really is.
It so is. It's the littlest, quickest act of kindness, you know what I mean?
And like, it's so easy, isn't it? It's just kind of saying, these guys over here are great, or these folks here are doing an amazing job.
Yeah.
So I think that's,
you have some promo material you want to like send me. I'm playing at the Pride Fest here at the end of March.
Okay.
During that set, I can mention you guys. I'm going to get something off the website and mention you guys, and I can just send up if you have a link, or, you know, if you have anything like, I guess I could give them the link to your website, I guess is probably the best way,
right? To, rainbowstore.com.
Yeah. I can send you some stuff out.
Yeah. If you have anything, you know, I can maybe give out a stickers or something. I mean, I don't know. I can just let people know during my set about what you're doing.
Easy. I can send you. I'll sort out a kind of an address to send you some stuff. But yeah, easy. I can do that.
Yeah, I'd love to help you get a name here in the States, because it's so unique what you're doing, because it's so inclusive. No one else is doing that I know of, especially here. So, and there's going to be a lot of people there that are really in need of things in the community, because, like I said, that's the only Pride Fest in South Florida this year.
That's shame,
but there's going to be a lot of people there. So, yeah.
Yeah, because it's the only one, so they're going to make sure they go. I'm so sad that I'm not going to be there this year for it.
Yeah, you're going to be here in May?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is March 23rd.
You know.
We've got the Australian Prides going on at the moment, isn't it? Is it Sydney Mardi Gras at the moment?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Mm. I'm pretty sure. My wife is from Australia, but she's not, like, really keen on going back and forth too much unless it's for family, but yeah.
It's incorrect, isn't it? Yeah, I've been out there once. I did some work. I used to be a journalist for motorsport, believe it or not. Oh. So I flew out to Australia I was there for 3 days to cover a race. And then I came back between Christmas and New Year. I flew out to Australia and I was back.
Oh my God, that's a big haul.
Right.
It is.
Yeah, that's like 24 hours of travel for 72 hours to be there.
Pretty much, yeah. I literally just got onto Australian time when I was heading back.
Yeah, she has a tough adjustment. Usually on this end of it coming back, it's brutal.
Brutal.
Yeah. Oh gosh, listen, I know it's late because I'm here in the UK. So we're going to let you go and get a good night's sleep and continue on with
great
this.
Great meeting you.
Yeah. With this,
you too. Out.
Great to meet you. I'm really glad we did this. And by all means, like, let's keep in touch.
I would love to. Yeah,
I'll send you my info. I'll send it to you, Denise, or you can send me Susie's. Sure.
Yeah.
No problem. Yeah, because her email address is going to be on the link email. So you'll be good.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Okay, ladies. This has been fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for inviting me on. It's been absolutely awesome. I've loved it.
Good luck with everything. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. Why do you
always run? Like, never stop chasing your dreams.
We drank way too much whiskey.
See?
My addiction is you.